This Jocks 94.5 podcast is brought to you by Millennium Satellite and Video. Log on to msvnow.com. TV excellence everywhere. That's Millennium.
Three Man Front.
Well, it's 10 o'clock here on Three Man Front. It's a Friday. We got lots of college football to talk about, and only college football.
Only college football.
That's it, man. That's it. It's college football season. Come on.
I feel like there are 11 reasons we could talk about something else.
Yeah, there's a lot of activities that went on last night in the world of sports.
Oh, go ahead. Lead the way there.
Fearless. Well, I mean, you had SMU had a huge win.
Yeah, they did.
In the Dallas Metroplex against Tulane. They're undefeated.
They got a big one coming up next week.
Yeah, that's a huge game against Cincinnati. I was very happy to see San Jose State knock off UNLV last night. That was huge. So I went 2-0 last night.
Mm-hmm.
I recommended to you guys to take the under in the Cleveland game, right?
I was there with you. And, of course, there's an underdog NFL.
Yeah.
No, I took FAU, and they were just a slight favorite there in Charlotte. No, they not won a road business. Game, but they're now undefeated still in Charlotte when playing.
So right there, we just mentioned like five different football games that went on last night.
Right,
I mean,
right.
there was a really busy docket of things that went on.
Yeah, we got college football coming up tonight.
Yeah, there was something that happened in Southern California last night, too, and I'll have to tell you
UCLA
that.
UCLA pep rally.
No, that was not. It was a Los Angeles Dodgers pep rally against the Atlanta Braves. Braves go up 2-0, and I'm thinking, you know what? Landrum is booking his World Series tickets as we speak.
He was so excited that he had a plum yesterday after saying it was the best fruit ever.
Yes, he did.
And so, sure enough, he was like, all right. I'm sure he was out buying all the plums at Publix yesterday after going up 2-0.
Don't see any plums today.
I'm not superstitious, but no more plums on Braves game days. I am superstitious, but no more plums.
What a night for Chris Taylor.
Ooh. Yeah.
My goodness. Wow. 4 of 5, 3 home runs, 6 RBIs. Hey, listen, Chris Taylor broke my heart this year, Landrum, so don't feel bad.
Yeah, 8 RBIs in
the postseason.
Postseason. Mm-hmm. Pretty incredible. Yeah, he told Eddie Rosario, hey, man, you think your performance was good? Watch this.
You got a chance to witness history last night. Do you realize that the 17 hits by the Dodgers in the illustrious history of the Los Angeles and Brooklyn Dodgers, they have never recorded 17 hits and 5 home runs in a game in the postseason, ever.
Glad we could be
until last night.
Once again be a part of history. We were part of the game of the Cardinals where you guys put up, wasn't that a record?
I think we put up 10 runs in the first inning.
Yeah.
Yep.
Awesome.
But Rosario continues to just, man. I told you on the day that he was traded, I loved watching him in Cleveland. I mean, he could rake, man.
He can, and he's really, really fast. He's not the best glove in the outfield, but man, what he does on the bases, and he can run.
Yeah,
can
12 fly. Hits in 5 games this league championship series. That's tied for the second most ever over 5 games. He's putting together quite a postseason, but Max Fried, a little bit of a shock, 4 2/3 innings, he gave up 5 earned runs, snapping a streak of 14 straight quality starts for the Braves.
Yeah, Max Fried did not look good. His breaking ball at times, he that was really the only effective pitch that he had, but he couldn't locate it, and Dodgers sitting on that fastball, and they pounded it.
All right, so let me ask you a question. So, and I do not know the answer to this. Do you know the starters for tomorrow yet?
It's Ian Anderson and Max Scherzer, I believe.
Okay, so Scherzer is going. Okay. Mm-hmm.
That is correct. Yeah.
Okay.
And then you would get, if necessary, hopefully it's not, but Charlie Morton, old granddad.
Well, we've kind of seen this movie before. Let me take you back to 2020.
Mm.
Game one, the Braves won.
Yep.
In 2021, the Braves won.
Makes
Game
sense.
Two.
Yeah.
In 2020, Braves won.
Okay.
2021, Braves won. Game three of last year, Dodgers won.
Right, exactly,
Game three this year, Dodgers won.
Sounds familiar.
Game four last year, 2020, Braves win. Okay.
Epic fashion,
Game four, 2021, Braves win.
Okay. Up 3-1 both times.
Game five last year, Braves lose.
Ooh, that's true. Yeah.
Dodgers win.
Uh-huh. That would have been last night.
Last night, game five. So it is.
Yeah. And if it holds true,
almost identical.
That's right. And if it holds true, then the Braves would lose game six, which they lost last year, 3-1, and then really have your heart broken in game seven, and they lost 4-3.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
I feel a little bit different this year than I did last year. I mean, I told you last time on Bud Light Game Night, I really thought that the Braves would close it out last
night.
I really did.
At least if they're going to lose this series, do it and break, you know, have your hearts broken in front of all of your fans where their hearts can be broken with you.
So everybody can just embrace
misery loves
one
company.
Another.
And throw mustard bottles on the field?
I hope not. I would not encourage that.
Okay, for those of you that did not hear last night's Bud Light Game Night.
Bud Light.
Might change the name now.
Yeah. Bud Light Game Night. Well, this is what it sounded like as my partner Landrum Roberts has now agreed to do something. I'll just let the audio explain it itself.
When the Braves win the World Series, you will have a Chief Nakahoma tattoo on your right butt cheek. That's what you just said on the radio.
Okay, well, that's fine. It'll be between us.
Yeah, and thousands of people that just heard you announced that you're going to get a Chief Nakahoma tattoo on your right butt cheek.
You know what? I've waited this long. I don't know how many years I got left on this earth. I'll do it.
Okay. There you go.
Cool.
That's my man.
Let's do it.
That's my man. Yes.
Sorry, Ben.
Yes.
There you go.
Why'd you say sorry to Conrad?
It was not Conrad I was talking to. I was looking to my left when I got the...
Why'd you say sorry to Pat?
The scowl.
He just called you your partner. Yeah, why'd you say sorry to him?
That'll be, you know...
So there you have it.
She, I think she's, we were actually looking at Nakahoma options that we would have for the
oh,
artist.
You were.
Hmm?
You were.
Mm-hmm. We're going to get those pictures out on Twitter.
They're out.
Okay, good. Beautiful. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. John Saber just tweeted those out from the Three Man Front Twitter feed.
I hope it happens, man.
You will see a kind of what we're looking at in regards to what happens if the Atlanta Braves wins the World Series championship.
So just like that, you've done your best not to jinx the Braves all season leading to this point. And then you spend last night looking at tattoos to get.
Yep.
I was just looking at the different options. If anybody actually had a tattoo, but the one that you sent me that you found, I thought was the best one.
It was a really, really good looking tattoo.
Yeah. I mean, it's not even
so
getting,
how big are you talking about
series,
getting?
Having to win the World Series?
You talking about like a 6x6 tattoo? Is that what we're talking about?
No, it was like a 4.5x4.5.
Okay.
It's got to be centered right there.
And you currently do not have any artwork on your body, is that correct?
Not. Okay. That's correct.
This will be the first.
This will be the first.
Okay.
So
it's a good jumping off point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good place to start.
I mean, it's going to be concealed for the most part. So, but I mean, I have to show you guys proof that I got it.
No, you know you don't.
Yeah, I am.
No.
I got to. That's part of it. You're the one who suggested this.
Now, originally, of course, the tape did not go far enough back, but my initial, I told you if you would shave your head.
Can't do that.
Can't mess with my hair. No, not doing that.
I'll don predator mustache, but no, I'm not shaving my head.
That's exactly right.
And then that's when I said, okay, what about a tattoo of Chief Nakahoma? And then he's the one that volunteered. He volunteered his right butt cheek.
Oh, of course, it was not me.
I mean, it's better than putting it on my chest or like having it on
my arm.
You
don't want an AJ McCarron tattoo all over your chest?
No, it's just not my style.
Mm. That is.
If that's your style, fine.
Okay.
I was just thinking of, okay, how can I have a tattoo that would never be seen for the most part?
You could put it on your foot.
That'd be seen.
We will have to probably, don't you think if this happens, it needs to be done in the studio during the show?
I'd like to think that, but then you're definitely not seeing it, so.
And I don't think it's very sterile to be doing it in here.
Well, there have been like.
There have been
examinations in these studios before, and I think we can work it out.
Yeah, they've been calling exams here before.
Yeah.
Oh. Precisely the reason that I
there's
do
been
not,
prostate exams and all sorts of stuff.
A needle going into my skin after there's been multiple. Well, there's no telling. We'll figure it out. We won't have to worry about it though if history repeats itself.
Oh gosh, this is going to be fantastic. This is going to be. Forget about all the food challenges that we have done in the history of this show that Landrum has been a part of. This will absolutely
and. We will need the listeners to hold him accountable because Landrum does have a history of.
I'm still waiting for him and Cole to pay off them losing to me last year.
And sleeping in
the front.
The cemetery too. Yeah.
Yeah. The roles on the field. But now, my defense, Well, there was
no. You had a bad back.
There was a bad back, and then there was this thing called the pandemic that happened. And I actually volunteered. I kept trying to get Cole after all of that had passed. And of course, Archetype, they've helped me out with my back. Don't have those issues anymore.
All right then.
But
yeah.
But trying to,
so you're good to go now.
Trying to find time in Cole's schedule where you can come out and film it, because if I go and do it, he's not there to document it.
I'm sure Coach Bergeson would let us go over there and let you do roles
and
on the field.
We've seen you've been able to document things without Cole over the past, you know, couple of
days.
Yeah,
but it would be called into question. I would still get questioned about it. So, and I will pay it off. It's just, when do you guys want to do it? I mean, gosh knows we have so much free time during the football season.
But again, listeners, we're going to need you to hold Langham accountable because of a pattern behavior.
Yes. All right, so enough of the Braves. We will not bring that up anymore.
Appreciate
for the
it.
Rest of this program for the next 1 hour and 49 minutes.
Until Barrett comes on and you bring it up.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. Yeah, yeah, that's right.
And Kyle Parmley, he's also a Braves fan.
Yeah, he's a big Braves fan,
cool.
too.
Convenient.
All right, so what's the latest down in Louisiana? Well, Ryan Clark, who you remember, had a nice career there at LSU, played in the early 2000s, went on into the NFL. He was on the Matt Moscona show, and listen to what he brought up as a potential fit as a head coach at LSU.
Not saying that he wants it, not saying that LSU wants to give it to him. To be clear, I'm going to say out loud, I ain't talked to nobody at LSU about it. I ain't talked to nobody at the Pittsburgh Steelers about it. But if Mike Tomlin wants this job, I would make an offer to him that would truly make him disrespectful to Lord Jesus Christ to turn down. For him to turn it down, it would basically be like spitting in the face of a preacher, priest, rabbi, monk, and a nun at the same time. That's how much of a blessing this offer would be to the entire Tomlin family. I would offer him so much money that the kids of his kids' kids, kids' kids, would have their 529 already paid for college.
Mike Tomlin, Ryan Clark bringing up Mike Tomlin as a potential person he would love to see have the job, but man, he really went over the top about how much money they need to offer Mike Tomlin.
So Mel Tucker, these other names, they don't do it for Ryan Clark.
No, he wants Mike Tomlin.
Mike Tomlin.
Is he going to be the new Gruden?
Apparently. Has anybody ever asked Mike Tomlin, would you be interested in going out and recruiting and the wars that you're going to find in the SEC?
Yeah, I just don't see that. Him doing that.
Something tells me that Mike Tomlin's doing just fine with the organization he's with. And
I think Mike Tomlin's got a job there in Pittsburgh as long as he wants to coach.
And well compensated for it. Mike Tomlin? That's just so random.
I just love the passion. The fact that
you
should throw so much money at him that five generations of grandkids after Mike Tomlin would have their college paid for.
Well, Mel Tucker's, he's the hot name. The James Franklin talk. I mean,
Vegas now has him number one.
Yeah, that's still out there. Lane Kiffin, that's kind of faded a little bit as well. So Mel Tucker, haven't had an extensive resume as a head coach, but a lot of experience and well-respected in the Southeastern Conference.
Been hired three times by Nick Saban. Michigan State, LSU, obviously down in Alabama, then left Alabama with Kirby Smart, went over to Georgia. He knows this conference. I think it'd be a great hire. I think James Franklin is another name that you will hear out there. But getting back to Lane Kiffin, a lot of people want to say, man, is this an opportunity for Lane Kiffin to kind of make a statement to the LSU fans? Well, the problem with that is we don't know if Matt Corral is actually going to play.
Yeah.
And if he's not going to play, then this game might be a lot closer than people think it's going to be.
You got some movement in that line. I don't know if you've checked it lately, but somebody knows something. And if it's not Matt Corral, you're going to go with Luke Altmyer, a guy who's thrown four career passes?
I'd go with Plumlee before I went with him.
That's what I'm saying. Why would you not go with a guy who knows the system where, I mean, we know what Plumlee can do with his legs. Maybe that's your best bet.
Speaking of injuries in the SEC, a couple notes to pass along to you. It was reported last night late on Twitter by Matt Zenitz, who used to be with AL.com, now he's with On3 Sports. He tweeted out that Tennessee quarterback Hendon Hooker, who left the game against Ole Miss with a lower body injury, late in that loss on Saturday. He is expected to be okay and start against Alabama tomorrow night. So, Landrum, does that make a big difference in this game?
Well, we will discuss it and bet it or forget it. It's coming up at 10:24. But, yeah, when you look at a 25.5-point spread, could probably sway you one way or another. My thing is, defensively for Tennessee, if Alabama would just they just choose to run the football, I think Tennessee's going to have a hard time stopping them.
Other injury news, pay close attention to this. Clemson, who is an underdog to Pittsburgh this weekend, some bad news for Clemson. They will not have another wide receiver. This time it's Joseph Nagata.
That's not good.
He is out due to COVID-19, so if you're keeping score at home, kids, it appears that Frank Ladson is going to be out due to a groin. E.J. Williams will be out for a knee. So you've still got Ross that's going to be available to play against Pittsburgh, but you're looking at a team that struggles to score points, and now you've got two of your three best wide receivers. They will be out against Pittsburgh.
Yeah, you're looking at a Clemson team, even with Nagata in there.
Mm-hmm.
That's 107th in the country in passing offense.
Ouch.
107. They're not really good at running the football. They're not really good at throwing the football. And I'll tell you something that Pitt is good at, throwing the football. In case you hadn't noticed, Kenny Pickett, he's got 21 touchdowns, one interception.
It's a pretty good ratio.
That one interception came in the loss to Western Michigan, but he threw six touchdowns in that game. We got some angles coming up on better to forget it on that particular game.
Yes.
At 10:24. And we give you some of the nuggets, the angles that maybe before you go and you just look at team or you look at helmet, you need to hear these and decide where you want to place your money this college football weekend.
Back to last night, some of that action. We mentioned Cleveland took care of Denver 17-14. How about De'Ernest Johnson? 22 rushes, career high, 146 yards. Do you remember where he played a couple years ago? He played for the Orlando Apollos in the Alliance of American Football.
Do not remember that.
How about that?
Did you remember that, or did you just?
How about that little nugget, yeah, I just pulled
exactly
out?
Exactly. That was quite the nugget.
How about that? Yeah, he had 22 rushes, 146 yards. So I would have to say that that's been the biggest success story for an Alliance of American Football player, maybe. Especially what he did it on the big stage last night in Cleveland. But yeah. Case Keenum, man, he just won't go away. 21 of 33, 199 passing yards, a touchdown. Meanwhile, Teddy Bridgewater, 23 of 33, 187 yards, two touchdowns, had the interception. But what about the Broncos? They started out 3-0. Remember how everybody was like, oh, man, yeah, the Broncos, surprise team, AFC West. Yep. Well, they've now lost their last four, sort of 3-4 on the season.
That's not good. And you had the question marks at quarterback, who was going to get the starting job prior to the start of the season, but it's a Broncos team. Jerry Jeudy with the injury early, not at full strength, but I mean, Cleveland as banged up as they were last night.
That was huge.
You got all kinds of guys that were out. I mean, Nick Chubb's not being available. You had other guys, Kareem Hunt, and to get that win, I don't know if that says more about Cleveland or. Really, that kind of states where Denver is right now.
And you just wonder when Baker Mayfield will actually be able to come back and quarterback.
Well,
he's going to have to get that labrum surgically repaired at some point.
Well, they have the Steelers coming up. So hopefully, as you know now, my my AFC team.
Okay, yeah, just please clarify that.
Let's get it done after that. You can get it done like, I don't know, or get it done. Yeah, that's fine. It's a non-throwing arm, though. So
it is, but still, take a big hit.
Steelers been banged up as well. We got college football coming up tonight. This would have been a great matchup had these two teams lived up to what we thought that they were going to be in the American. Memphis taking on UCF in the Bounce House there in Orlando.
Oh, I thought you were going to say that. The Middle Tennessee State UConn game tonight.
Two and four versus 1-6. Did we just gloss over the fact that UConn actually won a game and they beat Yale? They got to win after losing that heartbreaker to UMass.
I actually know a running back for Yale. I should have sent him a text.
What were you going to tell him?
What the hell?
What the hell, Yale?
It's like, wow. UConn, really?
That's
UConn.
That's never good. Well, if you're looking for the perfect spot to spend your game day, you can head into Twin Peaks. The 29-degree draft beer is flowing. The kitchen is bursting with a made-from-scratch fan favorites, and the game is blasting from every angle. This is how we do football season. Twin Peaks, never settle. Check them out there in Hoover. Coming up at 10:42, Kyle Parmley. We got high school football. We got a region title that's going to be decided, and a headliner in Class 7A. That's at 10:42 at 11 o'clock. Barrett Salee. We will talk storylines, college football. I'm sure that he will be prodded by Pat Smith to talk about the Atlanta Braves.
Why would I do that?
I know. I know. But also, we have Pat Ponders.
I still have them winning. I really do. So I want them to win now more than I ever, ever in my entire life. I don't root for other teams. I root for one team. And when they're eliminated and there are no longer a chance of them winning, I watch the games with absolutely no interest whatsoever at who wins or loses. But for this, I will become the biggest Atlanta Braves fan in the history of Birmingham, Alabama.
For the Nakahoma Heine. There it is. We got five thought-provoking questions, including Auburn changing their uniforms.
Yeah, how about that?
Mm-hmm. For the Ole Miss game.
Mm, interesting.
You say what? We tell you about it next.
This is Three Man Front.
This is Three Man Front. Pat Ponder's coming up. Going back to last night, we were just watching the replay. Tulane, they fall to SMU. Freshman quarterback Michael Pratt, who had three touchdowns, no interceptions, but he chose to run the ball on a particular play. And that could have been a nominee for the worst thing I've seen. A flag was thrown after review. It was not targeting, but, man, he got bounced.
Yeah, it was a shoulder-to-shoulder hit, but the problem was that his neck went back and then his helmet and head hit the turf there at SMU. But he was taken off, and you could tell that he was definitely concussed and did not see him the rest of the night. Not really sure about the update this morning, but he is one tough quarterback, man.
Yeah, we got more football coming up tonight, and we'll tell you about some of those games that we're going to be watching. Right now, I've got to tell you about Hone. How about comprehensive home hormone optimization, and you can do it from the privacy of your home? Pat, we've been learning about testosterone and some of the things that we didn't know. We're being educated on, and one is our father's generation had 25% higher levels of testosterone, and there's a lot of contributing factors that go into that.
It is, and today 30 million men in the U.S. have low testosterone that is affecting their daily lives. And when I talk about your daily routine, think about your energy levels. Think about your muscle mass, your focus, just your overall mood with your family, your friends, or the people that you work with. Once you become 35 years old, every year after that, you lose 1% to 2% of your overall testosterone if you're a man. So with that being said, as Landry mentioned, Hone Health is there for you.
Yeah, and here's the thing. You can order Hone's easy-to-use at-home assessment test today and learn about your testosterone levels. For a limited time, only listeners are going to get the at-home testing and a doctor consultation for only $45. You go to honehealth.com/jocks to take advantage now. That's Hone, H-O-N-E, health.com/jocks, and get your assessment coming up today and just a consultation for $45.
Yeah, and although, again, me and Landrum, we're obviously not medical experts, but Hone Health is, and they'll be there with you every step of the way. So take advantage of this wonderful opportunity.
Before we get to Pat Ponders, let's go to David in Homewood. David, welcome to Three Man Front.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. How y'all doing today?
Doing well. Hope you are.
I'm doing good, man. I call because I'm a very casual MLB fan, but I do start watching when it gets to the postseason. And I don't really have a team, but just living in Birmingham, I do pull for the Atlanta Braves. And I was under the impression that Freed, who pitched last night, I think started the game last night, was, you know, Atlanta's best pitcher. And then, you know, obviously he didn't have his best outing. Can you talk to me a little bit about what's the recipe look like for Atlanta if they're going to come back and win this series? What does that look like? Who do you expect to start pitching? How have they done against the Dodgers? are you worried about this turning, you know, and the momentum having been shifted in a way that may not be able to be recovered?
David, is a lifelong Braves fan, I can tell you I'm worried. I was never comfortable going up 3-1. A classic example is not only what happened last night, but being up, you know, 5-2 the other night. Cody Bellinger, who has done very, very little, hits an eye-high 97-mile-an-hour fastball, the hardest-hit ball that he's hit all season, out of the ballpark to tie it up, and the Dodgers go on to win. The recipe, it's going to be Ian Anderson, but he's going to have to be a lot better than he was in his first start or his last start that he had, and that's the problem. You got to have Max Scherzer on the mound for the Dodgers. Now, Scherzer did give up the two-run homer to Jock Peterson. I like the Braves being at home with that momentum, but this Dodger team, I was hoping they would lay down and die last night, and you're right. Max Fried, he was just not on, not clicking at all. And you look at if it's a Chris Taylor or a Corey Seager or a Mookie Betts. Justin Turner's out with a hamstring, but the Dodgers still have plenty of firepower. So, look, it's going to be tooth and nail. I would not be surprised at all if it gets to a seventh game. And then, you know, if you're a Braves fan, you're probably thinking the worst, just to be honest.
Well, I kind of agree with you. I obviously don't know near as much about the Braves as you do. But just watching the game, the last couple of games, I feel like the Dodgers may have kind of got their groove back and have a lot of confidence heading into Atlanta. But hopefully the Braves pull it out. I appreciate y'all taking the call.
Hey, appreciate you, David. Chop on for the A. Welcome in.
The Braves can come back up 3.
Yeah, well, that's what it feels like, though.
Come back. Okay.
That's exactly what it feels like. I mean, 11-2 feels like they won two games last night. Anyways, it is time for 5 thought-provoking questions provided by Pat. This is what we call Pat Ponders. Mike and the gang there. Mike is a huge Braves fan, by the way. No, he was upset with the game last night. Alabama Roofing Professionals, they're going to take care of you, warranty all the work they do. Working on Pat's house, they can, I mean, get on your roof. They've been on my roof, Cole Kublik's roof. Give them a call, 205-722-ROOF, alroofpros.com. And don't forget about the blow-in insulation they offer, keeping your home energy efficient 12 months out of the year.
All right, question number one. Clint Richardson, he is an Auburn uniform researcher and writer. You can follow him on Twitter, at ClintAU24. He is like me. He's a uniform geek. He loves all things about college football, and obviously he follows the Auburn uniform situation close as anyone.
Got him.
Okay? He had a question asked to him on Twitter. The question was, what's the rumor about a helmet change versus Ole Miss next weekend? Well, Clint responded with this. He said, Auburn has labeled the Ole Miss game as the all-Auburn, all-orange game. The head equipment manager, Dana Marquez, said following the Penn State game that orange masks could be a possibility in the future. Quoting, fan wear schedules don't often influence team uniforms, but it's a possibility. So it made me think about this question. Would you guys want to see orange jerseys against Ole Miss, orange face masks against Ole Miss, or nothing different at all against Ole Miss, the typical home jersey helmet?
Well, I can just go back when Auburn has made subtle changes, and even if it's to the helmet, I'll go superstition. It's not ended well for the Tigers. They did the white face mask at Penn State. They lost that game at the bowl game. You remember, and now that's a little bit different. They paid tribute
to Pat Sullivan.
Mm-hmm. I do remember when they had was it 100 years where they changed it?
I know Ben
Tate was the running back that year, and they played Vanderbilt, and they went the gray face mask, if you can remember that game. Not much of a change. No, I do not want to see the orange jersey.
So no change at all, period.
Well, if you want to go with the orange face mask, I know that was, late 70s, early 80s, where they actually did that and then did away with it. If you want to do it, fine. But I'm just history. They haven't changed it very much, but when they have, I just stated two of the games that they lost.
How about you, John?
Yeah, why not? I mean, everybody else more or less is open to having these alternate uniforms. It's something that, especially a lot of the young people, because if last I checked, this is for the kids, right? I mean, I know there are a lot of old stodgy folks
out
there.
It's not for Landrum.
Oh, no, obviously, no. They don't want things to change. So why not do it once? Well, what's the worst that he can do? You think, honestly, that a white face mask was the reason that Auburn lost that game against Penn State?
Absolutely. Yep. They would have run Tank Bigsby. instead of trying to throw a 10% probability fade back.
If they were to go with an orange jersey or an orange face mask, do you think the outcry would be overwhelming against it on Monday?
I do, yeah.
Even if let's say they won the game against Ole Miss.
No, if they win the game, everybody
would care.
Keep the face mask.
Really?
No. It'll be, oh, no, well, why are you doing this? Because I'm pretty sure that there were a lot of Ole Miss fans that weren't happy that they busted out the powder blues the first time. Or same with the San Diego Chargers or Notre Dame fans when they bust out the green jerseys. Oh, I don't like that. No, it needs to be on. So?
Yeah, you know, even Georgia went back to the black jerseys.
Yeah.
Remember the first time they ever wore black was against Alabama.
And remember they, before
John Parker Wilson
they
and Julio Jones killed them.
Before they had the silver britches, they had the white ones, and they busted those out. I think it was last year, didn't they?
Mm-hmm. So.
Why not?
Be interesting if they did something like that. I saw that because I follow Clint on Twitter. It's a great follow. And somebody asked him that question. I said, oh, wow. So there's a rumor out there some type of uniform
change. As long as it's a good look, it doesn't bother me. Now, if we're talking like a color rush kind of thing and it's ugly, okay, you probably shouldn't be doing that. But I'm okay with it being just try something, see if it's a good look.
Well, what would really be cool tomorrow night, and this happened, I think, last time it happened, maybe in the late 60s, was Tennessee wearing orange jerseys and Alabama wearing, obviously, their home crimson jerseys.
Yeah, that unfortunately, I think that's a penalty, technically, so it probably won't happen, but that'd be awesome to see.
To having the two teams wear colors.
You know, when we were, because we're watching the 97 SEC championship game on one of our monitors, when Auburn played Tennessee, and that's when Terry Bowden went with the shadow box numbers. You go undefeated
really
in 93, you win, 20 games in a row? Start out 21-1 with the traditional uniform, then you changed it, and that's where it all went downhill. Just something to think about.
Right. That not facing Peyton Manning.
The tiger, right, that, the tiger eyes.
That's
the
what
tiger,
it was.
The stupid tiger eyes.
Putting a shadow box on a uniform awful. Where you fell asleep. Okay, yeah.
All right, question number two. The Tennessee Vols are third in the SEC with 249 rushing yards per game. Alabama yields the second least in the SEC, giving up only 93 yards rushing per game. So how many yards rushing do you think Tennessee will get against Alabama tomorrow night? Is it under 100 yards, over 150 yards, or under 250? So again, your choices are under 100 yards, which would hit what Alabama currently is holding the opposition, over 150 or under 250. Again, Tennessee averages under, 249.
But under 250, so they could rush for 20 yards and not still be covered.
Correct.
Yeah, I mean, under 250.
So you're taking the safest bet.
Absolutely.
Wow. Mm, okay, then. Typical Brees fan. All right.
I have no idea what that means, but okay. What's your answer?
You're not wanting to take a risk. You could be a man and say under 100.
Are you challenging my manhood? Is that what you're doing?
Okay, well, what's your answer? Huh? I
just said under 250.
Okay, that's fine. Again, take the safe route. Take the easy route. That's fine.
Okay. Well, you take the hard route. Go.
Oh, no, I'm not stupid.
Okay.
He's going to take the under 250.
That's exactly
under
right.
100.
Under 100?
Yeah.
Okay, so Bama will hit their average.
I think so,
mark.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, speaking about that game, another statistical question for you guys. Alabama has scored 30 points in 33 straight games. That is the longest streak in major college football. Does the Tide go to 34 games with 30 or more points by halftime?
Ooh. No.
Yeah, I don't think they get it by halftime.
Not by halftime.
No.
But everybody feels safe that they will eclipse.
Yeah, they'll eclipse the 30, but not by halftime.
Probably the second drive in the third quarter, but.
But not by halftime.
Yeah.
No, 28-3, I could totally see, or even a shutout. Okay. Hendon Hooker playing, that does.
Change things up a little bit?
Maybe a little bit. Not as far as who wins the game, but if we're looking
number
at
number of possessions.
A big point spread. Yeah.
Okay. Speaking of points, LSU has allowed 40-plus points in consecutive games for the first time since 1948. How many points does Ole Miss score in Coach O's final game in Oxford?
How many points allowed?
How many points they score against LSU.
Okay. Well, who's playing quarterback? If it's Matt Corral, I'd feel good in the 30, 40 range. But if it's Luke Altmyer, I don't know. And that's an LSU defense that...
But Lane Kiffin's an offensive genius.
I understand that. And you would think they would try to run the ball, but LSU's... And Florida came in as the number one rushing offense in the SEC, and they held them to 138 yards. Now, LSU being able to run the ball, now that they found it, you had, Bryce Davis has had, in the last two games, one against Kentucky, 147 yards, and then 287 yards versus Florida. So you've got to think that you're not going to be three and out. They're going to be able to control the ball, both sides, limit the possessions. I've got an angle on this game, but I do think that...
I feel safe to say 35, no matter who is our quarterback.
Okay. So not they will not get to 40?
No.
If Corral's there, yes.
But Corral, yes.
Not, no, but I still I think without Corral, I still think they can get about 35.
I think around 30. I would feel safer if I went 30 or less without Corral.
Okay. All right, final question of the week. We're going to wrap things up with this question. I don't know if you're aware of this, but today is National Nut Day. When it comes to nuts, what's your favorite?
I really like pistachios.
That's your favorite nut?
Yep.
Of all the nuts in the world, you prefer those?
Yes. That's salty outside. It's got more flavor than like an almond. Now, the almonds that you have, like you can get the wasabi soy dust on, they're pretty good. But yeah, I would have to go with the...
So like putting a little dust on the nuts.
Pistachio. And they've had a very clever advertising campaign in recent years.
All right, but you go almonds, is that what you said? Or no, pistachios, is that what you said?
Pistachios, yes.
Okay. How about you, John?
Cashew.
Cashew?
Yeah. Can't say pistachio because he just ruined it, but yeah.
So nobody went peanuts.
They're not nuts.
That's technically true, I guess.
Yep. I should have answered tomato on your fruit question the other day.
You should have.
Yep.
But you went plum.
I did go plum.
Braves ain't been right since.
No, they haven't.
All right, that's this week's Pat Ponders.
This week's schedule. By the way, Pat Ponders brought to you by Alabama Roofing Professionals, 205-722-ROOF, alroofpros.com. This week's schedule of some key high school football matchups. We're going to see not only around the Birmingham Metro, but around the state. Kyle Parmley, who covers it closely, joins us next.
Three-man front, weekdays.
Right here on Jax.
Jax 94.5.
1047, it's three-man front, Landrum. Roberts, Pat Smith, we appreciate your interaction as always. At the number three man front on Twitter, some of you giving some interesting ideas. The bet that if the Braves were to win it all.
It's not a bet. You agreed. There's not a loser on this.
Well, depends. Could be my butt cheek.
You said that if the Braves win the World Series, you will get a tattoo of Chief Nakahoma on your right butt cheek.
Yeah, we're getting some interesting suggestions that are coming in at the number three man front. And our Twitter feed is always brought to us by our friends at Southern Pipe and Supply. We got high school football, key matchups coming up. Kyle Parmley, who covers high school football, high school athletics there for Sharns Publishing. He joins us now on the Bud Light Hotline. Kyle, hope you're doing well. Let's just get started with the big one. Class 7A, you got 9-0 versus 9-0, 1 versus 2, two very talented quarterbacks. Hoover taking on Thompson.
This is a big one, right, guys? Yeah, no, this will be a really, really interesting game to see tonight because Hoover, like I've told you guys a few times this year, I think Hoover's the only team in the state that has any chance to threaten Thompson. And so tonight we'll find out if that's actually the case. Hoover's coming in playing as well as they have all year, and they've got their star wide receiver, R.J. Hamilton. Finally, he made his season debut last week against Tuscaloosa County, so he's back in the fold for the Bucks. So they'll have close to their full complement of weapons, but they're going up against quite the challenge tonight. Thompson has just been unbelievable. I think they're outscoring their opponents 1-12 all year, something close to that. So it's just going to be really good to see if Hoover is the first team that can crack double digits on Thompson this year and make a game out of it.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting because most people believe that those two teams are destined to potentially play again in the semifinals once the playoffs get going. But there's two other teams in the region that they're face off tonight at Herdmont Park, and that's Oak Mountain and Hewitt Trustful, both teams in the playoffs now. But now it's about seeding. So the winner is going to be the 3 seed, the loser the 4 seed, and both teams will have to go north to either play James Clemens or Bob Jones.
Right. Well, let me just say this. I appreciate greatly how easy the scenario unfolds in Region 3. Hoover and Thompson are playing for 1 and 2. Hewitt Trustful and Oak Mountain are playing for 3 and 4. I learned a few years ago that you can spend hours upon hours doing these tie-breaking scenarios, and ultimately you're going to come up with some math that it ends up being wrong and somebody yells at you. So, this Hewitt-Oak Mountain game will – I don't even know where to begin because both of them come in with, quarterbacks that have been banged up. They may play, they may not play. We'll have to see. Evan Smith got hurt against Thompson, late in the second quarter, and Cade Carew's been out. Hewitt Trustful's quarterback's been out the last few weeks after getting hurt at Hoover. So, if both quarterbacks are good to go, it should be a highly entertaining game. Like this matchup has been a high-scoring affair the last few years. It's been, up and down the field for both teams. So these are two pretty evenly matched teams, if you ask me. And like you said, both of them are going north in round one. The odd way that it works out is that if you lose this game and become the 4 seed, you don't see Thompson until the semifinals if you can win a couple playoff games. Right, Pat?
That is correct. So yes, a lot of hand wringing going on, right? Both at Oak Mountain and Hewitt Trustful about not saying that the other opponent potentially, that being Hoover, is not a bad opponent. I mean, they're really talented as well. But again, it's just one of those weird things that when you look up and have a situation like that's going on tonight, you might be better served by losing than winning.
Yeah, and you brought up the game there off of 119. There's another game going on off of 119. You got Homewood 5-3 taking on Briarwood. Their only loss was to a Mountain Brook team. So what are you seeing with this Briarwood Homewood matchup, and what's on the line, Kyle?
Yeah, I got to see Homewood and Mountain Brook last week, and Mountain Brook has pretty much established himself as the best team in that region. So tonight, Briarwood and Homewood are playing for number 2 in the region. So it's, I give Briarwood the edge. They're getting one of their top receivers, Nick, back in the fold. Kind of similar to the RJ Hamilton deal at Hoover. Deason hasn't played all year. So he might be back tonight. Hopefully he would give the Lions a boost. I think the Lions are the favorite. Homewood's offense has put up big numbers early this year, but the last few weeks they've kind of struggled to get their footing against Shades Valley and Mountain Brook. So the thing is, if things hold to form tonight, you could have a 3-way tie for 3rd in Region 5 between Homewood Chelsea and Shades Valley. Which, like I said, I'm going to let the AHSAA sort that one out. Once you get to like tiebreakers K, L, down in that range,
it's time to hand it off to somebody else. No, I completely agree with that. Let me ask you about this one. Jerry Hood's done a really nice job over in Leeds, and Leeds takes on Alexandria. Talk a little bit about that game and what's at stake.
Yeah, no, this is for the region title. Leeds and Alexandria, both undefeated, top. I think they're number 3 and 4 in 5A right now. Leeds put together a really good playoff run last year, and they have just carried on that momentum into this season. And Alexandria, there was some they made some headlines in the offseason when their Ronnie Royal, their top running back and probably their best player, transfers to Gulf Shores to play for Hudspeth. So for Alexandria to absorb that blow and still put together the kind of season they've had, these two teams are built to win a couple games in the playoffs too. So tonight's game will be a, kind of one of those, it's not the big over the mountain community involved. It's two, modest sized towns that have a big football game tonight. So it's one of those that I wish I could see because That'll be a really fun environment out there at Alexandria.
All right, finally, Kyle, this is the Vestavia team that they were not the beneficiaries of the reason they play in the schedule they had, changing over, new regime, and taking over for a long time, and great head coach Buddy Anderson. They take on Gadsden City tonight. Looks like another great opportunity for the Rebels to add to that win total.
Yeah, I'll tell you, Gadsden City has really shown a lot of improvement this year. So I don't think this game will be just a walk in the park for Vestavia. But say Vestavia beats Gadsden City tonight, they've got Shades Valley next week. If they can wrap up this season 4-6 after the way that it started and a lot of the hand-wringing going on for Sean Calhoun's first year, if they could be 4-6, I mean, that would be quite a heck of a way to finish it off and send them into the offseason with some momentum.
Kyle, we always appreciate it. And safe in your travels and get there early if you're going on Highway 119. Traffic's going to be bad.
No doubt. Appreciate it, guys.
All right, thank you. Kyle Parmley, talking high school football. You can follow him at Kyle Parmley, sports editor there at Starnes Media. And he joins us on the Bud Light Hotline. Bud Light Game Night back at Topgolf next Thursday from 5 to 7. Tickets and great prizes to give away. JD, we will get to your phone call. Also, Barrett Salee, CBSSports.com. We will talk to him about the college football slate and the LSU coaching search. It's three-man front. It's a Friday, and we are Jocks 94.5.
This is three-man front on Jocks 94.5.